Hello and welcome to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. With me this week is John Baldessera.
Hey.
I'm Giles. We're doing an emergency podcast before we go to Japan because Persona 5's out.
Yeah, we have to talk about this.
Kind of, yeah. We've played, how many hours have you played of the game?
I want to say about 18. 17, 18. Yeah, 18, I'll say, yeah.
I'm like 21, I want to say.
Okay.
So not that much further ahead. I mean, it's June. It's like a couple days into June.
All right, yeah, sure. I'm towards the end of May, so that checks out.
Yeah. Like, relative start of June, so... not too far in, really, considering how many hours have been put in. I feel like it's a lot slower moving than previous Persona games.
In some ways.
Right?
Yeah, I would say so.
The intro, especially, is like 6 hours long before you get into a dungeon. It's really long.
Yeah, and there is stuff you can do in the meantime. Like, there is control given to you here and there, but like you don't have the freedom to decide how you're going to spend your free time or anything like that. Which is roughly... It is longer than the intro to 3 and 4, but not drastically longer, I don't really
It's like 3 times longer than 4.
No.
It took about 2 hours before you get control.
I don't think so.
And start doing stuff, yeah.
But I know, but before you really get into the flow of the game, I think it's comparable in a lot of ways.
Maybe.
There's some stuff with the pacing that I don't mind at all because I've loved every second of that game so far. But I can understand people. I can understand people being frustrated with it. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like it's fine. I think more than that, just like. I think the game's great, first of all. I should say that.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun. It's Persona, but like better in most aspects, if not all.
I would say all aspects so far.
Most aspects.
Okay.
The story is way more involving than just, hey, another person went to the TV. I guess we're going to go get them out. Like, it's you know, it's more nuanced than that, for
definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. And I think it like sets up some really interesting core mysteries or plot points like right from the start of the game. Like, if you're extremely sensitive to spoilers, maybe don't listen to this podcast at all, because I think we can talk pretty freely about the first few hours, right?
Yeah.
Basically it starts with like a flash forward type thing, where the main character is involved in some kind of heist, and then he ends up getting arrested. And the whole game, well, maybe not the whole game, it looks like it's going to be up to a certain point in the game, and then you'll play after that point as well. It's kind of like his interrogation, and he's like telling the story through flashbacks type thing. And like right away, it sets up like loads of mysteries, like, why is he doing this in the first place? Who are the agency who are interrogating him? The woman who's interviewing him says that he's being betrayed by someone in his team. So it's like, oh shit, we're going to meet someone who's going to fucking betray us. Like, there's so many little things like that right at the start where you're like, I want to know everything about this. And on top of that, each kind of like gameplay segment, like there's dungeons like in the old Persona games, each dungeon has its own extremely involved, fleshed out story as well. So along with those mysteries pushing you along through the entire game, there's also like really significant story stuff that kind of like stands on its own but ties tonally into the overall plot.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And it's awesome.
More or less.
It's executed so much better than 4, and you know, 4 is my favorite game of all time right now, but that might change, who knows. Yeah.
It's comparable to 4 in a lot of ways.
Yeah, definitely. The flow of the game is still much like it.
Yes.
Definitely. Which isn't a bad thing.
The dungeons are based around carrying out a heist, basically, like, not really an elaborate heist, but a heist. I think what you do is you go through the entire dungeon, scout it out, and then leave it and come back another day to like finish it off, to actually take the treasure.
Yeah.
And they feel like maybe not as fleshed out as they want them to be, but way better than the past dungeons. The way in which it plays out, it feels as though the second time you go back in, it's meant to be like the heist where you pull off this really elaborate thing with everyone doing different jobs and all this. But it's more just fast traveling to the room before the boss and then fighting it. And like
there's slightly more to it than that, but
yeah. It's got like little bits and pieces, but like what it feels like it was originally intended to be is like setting up things within the dungeon so that you can make it easier to get through and to have like this kind of event going on rather than it just be boss fight and then, you know, story stuff.
Sure. And like, it's not quite that level. You're right there. I understand. Yes.
It doesn't quite achieve what it feels like it wants to do, but on the other hand, it goes way beyond anything that 4 ever did or 3 in that regard. So, you know, I mean, it's a crafted, structured dungeon that like feels way more involving than anything else.
And not just like the way it's designed with regards to like layout and what you're actually doing in the dungeon. Like there's some light puzzle elements and things like that. And so the stealth, which is like really fun, I think. Although the cover's not like perfect. The cover system.
The cover's funky. It's an evolution of the system in 4 and 3 where like if you run up behind an enemy and attack them, then you'll get an advantage. It just kind of makes it easier, but also makes it make a lot more sense by you being
stealthy.
Thief.
Yeah. Stealthy. Yeah. And it looks cool. It looks really cool.
It does look cool, yes.
The other way is like the dungeons really differentiate themselves. There's like a lot of, I don't know if cinematic's the right word, but like a lot of sweeping camera angles. Like occasionally, like you'll walk into a new room or a new area of the dungeon, like the camera will pull back and like kind of like frame it from like, you know, kind of like the old school Final Fantasy PS1 era perspective where you kind of got like a big view of like the area that you're running through and like the camera like sweep around and stuff. And it's just like all the little things like that make the dungeon seem so much shorter than it is because they do take a long time to get through. But because they're constantly changing up like environments and the kind of things that you're doing in the dungeon, they're so much more rewarding and so much more fun to play than 3 and 4. Like I'm excited. I'm excited about a dungeon in a fucking Persona game, which is ludicrous to think about. Yeah, not just for the story stuff, you know.
I don't know if I get excited for them or like they're especially like amazing to go through. But it does not feel like a slog.
Not at all.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Which in itself is like a huge compliment, really. If you consider
it's a big step forward, at least.
Yeah.
That being like my least favorite aspect of previous Persona games by far.
Yeah.
That's always been a caveat, but I can say it stands up on its own, I would say, as something that you could play through and like if you were into dungeons and stuff.
Sure. Like
just dungeon crawl and then you could just like focus on that stuff and have a good time.
And probably have a good time, yeah. Well, as someone who does like JRPGs and combat system, like that kind of combat system and that kind of dungeon crawling, like it definitely stands amongst the best games that focus solely on that stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like just with the variety. Okay. I think so. Like people disagree. It's definitely not as challenging as like the other Mega Ten games or anything like that.
No.
But I don't know, man. I think the dungeons are really satisfying to move through. Even there's also like a randomly generated dungeon similar to like Tartarus in Persona 3.
Yeah, it's very similar to Tartarus.
I don't think it's going to be optional. It seems significant to the story enough to me that I think we're going to have to go all the way through it. I've got a feeling. But I feel like even that, like because everything about the game's so snappy, like the transitions into battle and out of battle, that hasn't become a chore yet at all. Granted, I've only spent a few hours in there, but I had like a great time just like grinding through that personally.
Yeah. The transitions look cool.
Yeah.
I can see them becoming kind of annoying after a while because of how long it takes. Like, you can finish a fight in, like, 10 seconds, I'd say. The transitions take longer than that.
Yeah. You know? I suppose so. But, like, you're not fighting... I don't fight many enemies that it only takes 10 seconds to beat. I don't know. I just...
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. Not yet, at least. But it's just
you don't fight like three enemies. You have all the weaknesses on your main character, and then you're all out attack
through them. Yeah, I suppose
you get it done in an instant. Mm-hmm.
That's true. But the transitions, like, I mean, it's either amazingly stylish transitions or loading times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think out of the two things, it's I know, you know. I don't know. I think that stuff looks amazing. Maybe it'll get old, but like now I'm still like immediately tapping tapping my foot along to the victory theme like every single time. Sometimes I just let the transition play out for longer so I can hear the victory theme for longer. Like, and that's after like 17, 18 hours. So I don't know. I mean, it's a very lengthy game by the looks of things. So maybe it'll get old, but I can't see that happening yet. There's no sign of it getting old yet.
Yeah. And to continue the battle speak. Yeah. Putting all the commands on buttons so you can instantly press them is great. It's a good move forward.
For just for the fucking entire genre, honestly.
Yeah.
It makes it feel so much more like tactile in a way. Like when you press attack, you kind of instantly attack. And it doesn't quite feel like an action game or anything like that. It's still turn-based. You can still go at your own speed and all that kind of stuff. But to me, at least, it feels so much more satisfying. And I don't know. I think the things they've done to streamline the battle system are amazing.
Yeah. And like switching Persona and you get instantly into the cast window so you can cast a spell instantly as you change Personas, that kind of thing.
Sure. If you've already learned the enemy's weakness by fighting them previously, you can just hit one button and then you'll immediately be ready to kind of cast that, like the spell that they're weak to. And you can chain stuff together with like a couple of button presses, and it just feels so snappy and satisfying. Yes. All of like the switching between characters just looks cool as fuck. The menus in the battle system look amazing somehow. Yeah. Like just every aspect of it seems to have taken what they've done from a UI standpoint in 3 and 4. And just kind of like the flow of battle in 3 and 4 was also really satisfying for what it was. And they've just kind of pushed that to its like limit, really.
Mm-hmm.
Except in one minor aspect that I do actually agree with you on, that you have a problem with.
Right, yeah. The so when you knock everyone down, you can do an all-out attack, which looks fucking cool.
Yeah, it's looks like amazing.
It's like a... what's the word? It's going out my head. Where they're just black. Silhouettes.
Yeah.
Silhouettes of the enemies, and you're like... It just looks fucking rad. Look it up. But, Before you do it, once you've knocked everyone down, it goes in like a hold up moment where everyone's pointing the guns at the enemy, which also looks fucking cool. Rad. But like the music changes and it goes into a different kind of music, and then when you press all out attack, the music goes back, and it just for a Persona game where like the previous games where you all out attack and the music keeps going
and it was often it usually, timed to timed to like a crescendo in the music.
That it just kind of just it, like it's a tiny little thing, but it's a step back, you know.
It's kind of
disappointing.
It's the Fraser and Niles tiny thing about the meal, though, right?
Not really. Like it bums me out too much because every time I'm like, oh, here we go, all attack, and then it's like the music kind of dips. Even if you like press triangle immediately and it skips the menus completely, the music dips and then comes back up, and you're just like, fuck.
I know. It's still
that was
going to
be amazing.
Though.
Yeah, it does look amazing.
It's still great. It's still satisfying. Overall, I think the presentation and fluidity of the battle system more than makes up for that, and still easily makes it the best one out of the three modern era Persona games. But I am with you on it. I mean, it's a hangover from the SMT days. I mean, those days are still going.
Yeah,
where
strong.
Like when you converse with the demon, like the music changes, and I think it works better in those games because you know they've got like a much more eerie feel to them, and it's like I don't know, the music's a lot stranger. Whereas this, it's all like really kind of like kinetic,
poppy,
energizing, like jazzy music. So it doesn't fit quite as well. Like I understand why it's there, but I don't know.
The battle music also takes too long to come into like an actual energy. Like it's very slow at the start.
It kicks off strong.
Mass like, destruction. Not bang, really bang. Though.
I think it's awesome. Like the
it's okay.
The,
yeah.
Like strings at the start. I think it's really great intro. But yeah, the first verse goes on a little bit too long, maybe. But that hasn't bothered me. The dip in the music definitely is a negative, but I think overall I think I really like the battle theme.
Yeah, it's good. It's great. I think I like Mass Destruction more though.
Yeah, that's fine. Sure. That's also very good.
I've said it so many times. Yeah. It's a good one. Anything else about the battle system?
The demons or the personas, sorry. I keep referring to them as demons
shadows.
Because yeah.
Well, shadows, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But in old Persona games, you kind of like fought like unique enemies and then received personas from them, which you could then equip. Whereas this, you just fight the personas, essentially.
Yes.
It's so satisfying as someone who's played, I mean, Persona 3 Portable, Persona 3 FES, and Persona 4, and like several Shin Megami Tensei games. It's like really gratifying to see those character models rendered. It's such like, it's such a high quality, really.
Yeah,
like they look fucking amazing, and it's just
they do
really,
look really good.
It makes the whole like Persona collection aspect of it way more exciting,
yes.
way more worthwhile, just because they look so cool.
They do look like the artwork in a very good way.
Yeah, definitely. It also made it like fit with the overall presentation of the game. Like, there's some really, really like deep, warm colors to them all and stuff like that. It's a great looking game overall, but like I really think the work that's gone into the Persona models is like really special, which makes sense because they're probably going to use those models for like every Shin Megami Tensei game
for the next 10 years.
Yeah, maybe even longer. Like if you think about mobile phone games,
Shin Megami
like
Tensei
that.
Switch, all that stuff.
So definitely a worthwhile investment. I'll be happy to see those in several more games for sure.
Yeah. Oh Christ, what was I going to say?
So far, battle system, big improvement. Dungeons, big improvement. What do you want to get into now?
Just to add, the shadows have a lot more personality as well. Because like they talk to you as you're fighting them, and also you converse with them, but like the conversation system still feels really fucking weird like other SMT games.
Yeah, definitely.
You're just trying to figure stuff out.
I still love it. Like, look, it's a hugely broken, flawed system. I'm not going to be like, oh, no, it's logical and there's a way to do it. There's not. I mean, I'm sure there is, but it doesn't make any sense. But, man, I fucking love it anyway. It's just so silly. Like, all of the lines of dialogue are so ridiculous.
Where he's like, why don't you go run back home to your mom? And he's like, mom can wait. just
so much stuff like that. And it's, like, so nonsensical.
That's great, yeah.
I don't know. I've always loved that about, like, the other Shin Megami Tensei games that I've played. Even though it is frustrating initially. But I'm pretty sure, like, I've heard, I haven't actually accessed this, but my friend texted me saying that one of the social links, or confidants as they're called in this game, kind of, like, makes that negotiation process a lot easier.
Right.
So
You do get stuff like Ryuji will can reset sometimes.
Yeah, I've unlocked that with Anne. Yeah. Anne. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you can get that with Anne as well. I think all of them get it, I think.
Yes, that's pretty cool. It's great.
Also, just like the ambient dialogue in battles, I guess. Like when you miss an attack and a demon calls you a scrub.
Yeah.
Or when Ippon Datara calls you clown shoes. Stuff like that is pretty great.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. There's a lot of that in the SMT game, so I'm glad they've kind of taken like the best parts of that franchise. Or of those games. Same franchise, kinda. So,
yeah. It's a lot of fun. I like it a lot. Day-to-day stuff. I feel like the day-to-day stuff is a lot slower. It's like drip-fed compared to 4.
Absolutely. I think the part where we're both in the second dungeon. Well, you're done with the second dungeon, sorry.
Yes.
I think I've got a lot of time in between going into the dungeon at the minute. Like, I've got like a good 10 days left before I have to complete the dungeon, and I'm on the bus, so I'll have like 9 full days at least of just being able to do social stuff. And then after that, a bunch of days as well, I'd imagine. And I've already had plenty of free days in between that as well.
Yeah.
But at the start, I was like, oh my God, when am I actually going to be able to do something? I'm going to run out of time and not be able to see everything I want to see. And there's like a week of exams really early in the game, which I think exacerbates that problem. But it's probably just kind of teaching you, you've got to pay attention in class. Do you know what I mean? Like, I understand the reason they've done a lot of this. And maybe if we'd never played a Persona game before, maybe we wouldn't need it to be drip-fed because there's so much to this game, I think. There is, like, a ton of systems. I remember, like, playing 3 for the first time and being pretty confused and looking up a lot of guides and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, I think it spells everything out pretty clearly. And I think there's so much interest and stuff going with regards to the story and things like that that it wasn't really a problem other than me panicking about not being able to fit everything in.
Yeah. There's also a lot more options, right?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Of how to upgrade your social stats. So it's like, you can, like in Persona 4 or 3, you could spend your time studying now to gain knowledge or intelligence or whatever. But in this one, it's like, you can go and study in the library, which, because you're like, you've been transferred into the city because you're a criminal, essentially. You have a criminal record. Everyone's like freaked out by you, scared of you. So sitting in the library, you also gain guts. Or you could go to the diner, and depending on what meal you get, you can gain intelligence from studying and kindness or guts.
Continue. It's fine.
So just there's a lot of different options of how to approach upgrading, like the stats and what you need at the time, because there's some social links or confidence or confidence.
Confidence, I think.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Some of them require like certain stat levels, like previous games.
Sure. Yeah. And we should probably like briefly explain just the day-to-day flow, just for people who've never played a Persona game. But yeah. You basically go to school, and like events could occur during the school day. Like you'd be asked random questions in class and things like that, or maybe like you'll like some story exposition will happen at lunchtime, all sorts of stuff like that. Then after the school day, there's like two more slots of time that you're kind of relatively free to decide what you want to do. So there's the after school window where you could either like do any of the things we've just been talking about. Like you could go to a restaurant and eat a burger and improve your stats. Or you could go to a batting cage to improve your stats, go to the cinema, et cetera, et cetera. Or you could hang out with a friend and kind of like a confidant and deepen your bond with them, which has like loads of interest and gameplay ramifications.
Yeah.
More so than four even. Which has been really cool. And then finally, there's like an evening section where there's a couple more confidants to hang out with, or you could. There's like a lot of other options that are only available at night, like certain jobs.
Go get a bath.
You can go get a bath. And on certain days of the week, they'll put special bath salts in, which will give you a bigger stat boost. Mm-hmm. And it's like a really fun time management thing. And all of this stuff's like presented like immaculately, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just looks very so slick, so stylish. All of the little jingles are just, like, really satisfying. So that's kind of, like, the basic flow. And then there's also, as we were talking about before, like, dungeons and things like that. Mm. And sometimes you'll have to dedicate, like, a few full days to getting through a dungeon and things like that.
You can also prepare for dungeons in the real world. So you can go, like, to vendor machines to get drinks out, which can heal your SP, which is essentially mana, or your health.
Sure, and then there's a lot of like usual JRPG stuff, like, you know, going to shops and buying new weapons.
Yes.
And, you know, like the owners of certain shops will also have like those confidant friendships with you that'll kind of like boost certain stats.
Mm-hmm.
It's all intertwined in a very satisfying way, which all of the games have been, but I think this is kind of like taking it a step further again. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah, there's just a lot more choices to make.
Do you think, like, although the game does take a lot of decisions away from you at the start, like, there's a lot of story exposition where, like, you just have to go to bed afterwards because you're too tired for no good reason.
Yeah, that stuff's really annoying.
It is annoying, yeah. But I feel like on the free days, there's so many more options at night than there was in the other two games that the time kind of makes up for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I think there is just as much free time as ever. It's just kind of sandwiched like in between a lot of story stuff. So far, at least. It's definitely opened up considerably where I am, and hopefully it'll continue that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's wonderful in that respect as well, I think, overall.
Wandering around Shibuya is nice.
Yeah.
I get lost in the train station every time.
I'm used to it now. Like, the first mission, you've got to find, like, a train line called the Ginza Line. And I was like, you follow the yellow circle. It's easy. Because I've been so... Oh, man.
All the signs and stuff are the same. It's great.
Yeah. Like, if you're interested in Japanese culture, like, even slightly, you've got to play this fucking game. And if you've been to Japan before, you've got to play this game. Because you'd be like, I know where this is.
Yeah.
Like, this looks like a train station in Japan. Like, exactly like a train station. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you unlocked Harajuku? Is it like a spot to take your friend?
No.
Out? Yeah.
You have to read
a magazine called Vague from the bookshop, and it unlocks the ability to go to Harajuku. Yeah.
Can you only go with a friend, or can you just go?
Only go with a friend, because it's not like an actual area. It's
okay.
Some of the areas are pre-rendered. Just pictures, which I mean, is fine. You know,
some of them in full are as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for all, like, so much of the presentation is incredibly well done and they've clearly poured a ton of time and money into so many aspects of this game, it's still ultimately a Persona game, you know? It's still a relatively low-budget game. Yeah, absolutely. And it does show in spots, like, other than that music dipping in battles, which is a low point, I think the only other kind of criticism, like, the only genuine criticism I have of this game other than that is, like, a lot of the textures are really rough, especially on, like, signs. Like, signage in the world is kind of, like, really rough in places. Mm. Really inconsistently as well. Some of it looks great, some of it looks terrible. Which is, I don't know, I think a lot of it's just the result of being a budget game. It, like, Yakuza's the same as well. Yakuza Zero suffers from a similar problem. Like, exactly. Overall, nicely presented, really nice-looking games, but, you know, the budget does shine through, or not shine through, here and there. Which is, like, a tiny little blemish, really. It's, like, the overall atmosphere they've created and, like, the authenticity of something like a Tokyo train station. As someone who's only visited there, like, I've never lived there, seems to kind of really come through really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anne.
Yeah.
Is Rise crossed with Chie?
What, looks-wise or personality-wise?
Personality-wise. And look, well, maybe not looks-wise. Mm. But, like, she's, like, she does the running. She's, like, she exercises and stuff. She's a model.
Yep.
She eats loads, like Chie, but she looks, like, amazing and she's beautiful and all this. But she feels like a fan creation of a character.
I don't think so.
I don't dislike her. Like, I think she has, like, the goofy element to her, like Chie does. She has, like, the shy element that Chie does, but she's also got, like, the Rise stuff going on at the same time. And I have been like, oh, she's kind of too good in the Persona world. She's like the she's ideal. Like, no, she's like, she's the ideal Persona girl, like, in terms of what people like from the characters in Persona. And
I don't get a Chie vibe from her, really. Like, she eats a lot, but Chie eats a lot because she wants to become strong.
She loves meat.
Exactly, and she wants the protein, so she eats snails. Whereas Anne just likes dessert.
It was dessert.
Nothing wrong with that.
And it's, like, totally different.
It is,
man.
Because it's a different goal. Like, the thing about Chie eating a lot is, like, which wasn't really that much of a thing in the fucking game. It was all the spin-offs that blew it out of proportion. That, like, you know, she really liked protein, like Akihiko, because she wanted it to become even fitter and stronger than she already was.
She just likes steak, man.
She's in a martial arts. I think they're really different. I don't see Chie in her at all, really.
Really?
Nah. And I'll say so far that the characters seem a little bit less tropey than they do in 3 and 4.
Yeah, they feel a bit more nuanced.
A little bit. Sure. Yeah, definitely. I really like Ryuji so far.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. He's got, like, little anger problem, little temper.
Yeah, you know? But he's, like, controlling it as well. Like, he doesn't want to fight.
Exactly, he doesn't want to be a dick. He's just a bit of a dick. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're all we're all like that sometimes. I really like the characters. I think the cat,
Morgana, is way better than Teddy.
My favorite character in the game so far. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. That first... we won't spoil it. I'll talk to you after this. But I was like, yep. I love this cat. Just like Rick and Morty. I love this spider. That's how I felt.
He's not just like a mascot character, you know.
Yeah,
he has like a he's quite serious about stuff, you know. He's trying to find out a way to be human again or something, I guess. Yes,
definitely.
Whereas Teddy trying to figure out what he was like, because, like, he is the 10 seconds in this in the next 5 hours of him being sad about this stuff, and then he's just a goofball the rest of the time. Whereas Morgana feels, like, determined to actually solve the problem, you know?
Yeah, Teddy's, like, a goofy thing that's trying to become a bit more human, whereas Morgana is a human that has become a bit goofy.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Doesn't really remember, yeah.
We don't know if it's
at this point,
gender.
We still have no idea.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Another fucking mystery.
It sounds like that's linked to Mementos, so it's probably going to be like stuff. Like true ending kind of stuff, right?
I think so. Like, from the vibe I'm getting from it, like, I think tonally, overall, I've totally bought into the conceit. Like, the Phantom Thieves stealing the hearts of these, like, fucked up people in the world, and I think it sounds so goofy, and it is, but
yeah,
I think its greatest accomplishment so far is it's basically a game about like fuck adult society. Yeah.
Every time I get to say something about the cops, I'm just like fuck the cops.
Yeah, but it's that. Sorry. But because it's Persona, it doesn't come across as like fucking edgy garbage.
Yeah,
because the characters are still nice people. They're still polite to people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just dicks. They're not saying things for the sake of it. They're just like, yo, society's looking the other way when fucked up shit's happening all over, which is very true of, like, you know, it's very true of, like, our civilization. But it just feels really earnest and, like, not like, oh, we're being edgy for the sake of it. I don't mm-hmm. know. It's tonally really, really impressive.
Yeah, I think that's the case with, like, all the Persona games, right?
It is.
Like, how absolutely. Like, the real world is very, it's quite washed out, right? It's not super colorful and bright compared to the dungeons.
Yeah.
And you go into the dungeons and it's like really kitschy and campy and like over the top. And that's where all like the fucking melodrama stuff happens.
Yeah.
And then when you get out, everyone's like, oh, that was kind of dumb, but never mind.
Yeah, let's
like,
go.
I think that's the balance that they get in the tone, which is really effective.
Yeah, I mean, they've nailed it like 3 games in a row, I think.
Yeah.
But.
I think it's 3 also was quite different. Melodramatic everywhere.
A little bit, but still the characters had more to them than just that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that kind of
worked. Goof. The Persona goof.
But they all go for like a different thing as well. Like, Persona 5 is that like rebellious kind of attitude that they all have. But still being Japanese teenagers, they're all still like really polite, which is really cool. Yeah, yeah. whereas 4 is like, it's like a nice like family story, right? Like, you feel warm and safe and at home when you go to the Dejima household.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a mystery and there's fucked up stuff happening and you've all got to work together with your friends, blah, blah, blah. Whereas 5 is very much like the world's against you.
Mm-hmm.
But not entirely. Like, yeah. You know.
My yeah. boy, Sujiro, he's helping me out.
Sure, but like,
I love him.
He's still a bit of a dick to you. But deep yeah, down, you know, deep down
yeah.
he cares about
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
It's not like Dejima where it's like, welcome. He's like, I think of you as a son. You know, it's like immediately like really warm and family friendly with like very
yeah.
little conflict within the household. I mean, there's a bit, but whatever. We won't spoil Persona 4. I don't know.
It plays with that.
It's got
well,
a different
though.
Feel to it. Hmm?
I think they use the relationship between Dejima and the main character really
yeah.
well, though.
Yeah, no,
like by the end. No spoilers, obviously, but
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it's
like,
wonderful.
Yeah.
But I'm not criticizing either game. I'm just saying, like, there's definitely a very different feel to both of them, but they've still mm-hmm. kind of executed the goals, like, really, really well so far. So, yeah, I think this game's, like, fucking wonderful.
The story is a lot darker as well. Well, you know, it's not a lot darker. I think it goes deeper into it. Because, I mean, people are dying in 4, but it's never as...
And the reasons why they're dying are kind of not that dissimilar to the reason why horrible stuff's happening in 5 either. Like, it's all about, like, repressed human urges and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. ultimately. But yeah, they definitely take a deeper dive into that stuff.
And rather than it just being repressed human urges, though, it's more like the darkness of humanity.
Sure, and right? especially 5, like I was
yeah,
kind of saying before.
For 5.
Yeah, yeah, and what I was saying before is it's all about, so far, to me, like, how people are just willing to just put up with horrible shit in the world, which we all do,
yes.
you know? And just mm-hmm. kind of look the other way just to make everything easier.
Yes.
And, like, I fucking love that, because, like, it's a real issue, and it's something that we all do, like, every single one of us.
I don't know if that's all executed especially well. Like, sometimes you have to kind of
it is
do some mental...
Sure.
Mental gymnastics to
sure.
to believe the storyline as it's going.
Sure.
You're like, no one would react like that sometimes, but for the most
yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're
the
part that I'm thinking of, so.
Yeah, sure. But, like, there's also, like, cultural differences that I don't think we'll 100% understand, right? With certain things.
Yeah.
Like, as far as I know, I'm no fucking expert, but Japan's, mm-hmm. like, very focused on, like, saving face, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
especially
with
the yeah.
first story arc.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for
fucking
sure.
hell, man. That first story arc's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that one goes in a lot deeper than the second one. Like, that is the, hey, here's what we're going for.
Sure.
We're going to give you, like, a really structured story, so...
Whereas the second one, like, I've got up to the boss. I died on it last night because I forgot to bring, like, recovery items because I'm an idiot.
Right.
The second one, like, the big thing's revealed right at the end. It's like, oh,
yeah.
fuck, this is just as fucked up, but, like, you don't really see see the messed up effects of it until the end, you know? Whereas the first little story arc's just... What a fucking start to that game, man. I don't want to say anything about it.
Great.
Like, I think, yeah. It's amazing.
They wear some nice Asics.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a really good game so far. I obviously... We're nowhere near close to be able to say that it's better or worse than any of the others.
I think overall, like, it's impossible to say. It's probably going to take me like a year to really say for sure. But I think in terms of the gameplay changes they've made and the presentation and things like that and the overall visual style, I think it's definitely the best one. But in terms of like how much the characters are going to stay with us, all that kind of stuff, like, that's impossible to say. Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, it seems like those characters are really likable so far, and hopefully it continues to be that good. Yeah.
Like thinking back on it, like, the tone and the tone and pacing of Persona 4 feels a lot better to me so far, like, at the start.
Okay.
But that is also looking back on the characters that
you know so well.
I've grown attached to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what I'm thinking so far. So I reckon
there is. Like, could Persona change. 3 and 4 do definitely turn into, like, oh, the hero, like, the band of heroes that have got to save the world, right? I don't think that's too much of a spoiler.
Yeah.
And I think this one's going to go the same way, which I'm not really a fan of, like, honestly.
No. It's like, oh, it's the god of something that's evil
whatever.
This time.
Like, and that is what that series has always been and what all the Mega 10 games are, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know... I'm prepared for the disappointment this time, though, because, like, straight from the jump, like, Igor's like, oh, the coming ruin. You've got to steel yourself for the coming ruin. And it's like, okay, there's going to be some, like, big catastrophic event towards the end of the game. And I'm ready for it, you know? But it is going to go in that direction.
Alternatively, it could just be, like, you meet up with the other characters from the other Persona games, and then it's like, oh, you're almost ready for the ruin, but then, you know...
And then tears will fall down my face.
Persona 6. That'd be good.
Yeah,
I can see. I can see Naldo being in this game potentially.
Yeah,
I've already heard the Detective Prince be mentioned once.
Yeah, same here. I've overheard people in the cafe talking.
Yeah.
There's some. I don't want to mention things I've seen in this game. Like, we'll talk about it straight after this. I know you've seen
the same references
things,
to other.
There's references to other Persona games, and apparently, I read in a review there's reference to Catherine as well, which is pretty good.
All right, cool.
I feel like, you know, the poster near the flower shop in the underground wall. There's like pink posters on the wall, and I think that, like, the silhouette on that looks like a lot like Catherine with a C from Catherine.
Okay,
to me at least, and like the art curly style especially, hair. Yeah, curly hair, like black silhouette on a pink background, like all that kind of stuff. Very Catherine.
Cool,
and there's some other stuff as well. But yeah, overall, fucking great game. So
I really
far,
like it.
Yeah, gonna play more like right now.
Yeah, as soon as this is done.
Yeah, I finished Nier as well, Automata.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Great ending.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything about it.
Yeah. It's like totally kind of not necessarily linked to the game at all, but kind of like it is like
some of it is,
really.
But like the big takeaway for me wasn't like how things ended for those characters. It was it was very, very strong message. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. It's a very good game.
Yes.
Definitely my game of the year until this one, which is probably going to, it already has overtaken that. I fucking adore Persona 5 so far. Yeah.
I still like Nier a lot. Yeah.
We'll see how
it's
everyone
close.
Wraps.
It's close.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything else to add. So, news? There's not really any news apart from Nier's sold 1 million copies.
Fucking hell,
shipped 1.5. That's strong. That's not bad. They're doing a
Joseph, it's amazing.
It's good.
Platinum games don't sell that well, and Yoko Taro games don't sell that well. This is like a huge gap, like a huge victory for both of them.
And you had something to add about Persona.
Mm.
The guy that you stop from raping a woman or whatever looks like Hideki Kamiya.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think?
He's got like a little beard and there's yellow glasses. It's fucking Hideki Kamiya. Like an evil version of him. It's like
I was gonna say
Kamiya.
No, no, he would never do that.
Of course he wouldn't.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know what twisted desires are in his heart.
Okay,
maybe we'll stop him next week in Japan. Yeah, Nier sold 1 million copies. There's a live stream this month?
Yeah, soon? Like a week?
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're going to reveal DLC or something.
Mm. Oh, maybe.
To do with those elevators.
I think it might just be a troll. I think it might just be Yoko Taro rolling around on the floor.
That'd be good.
Rolling around in a pile of yen.
I'll take that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big takeaway is, like, I hope Square, in some capacity, collaborate with Platinum again. There's so many Square franchises that would be a great fit for that studio, I think. Like, they could do something cool with Xenogears, but probably not, because Nintendo's got some kind of rights to that, I think. Yeah. And then also, like, Parasite Eve, I think, would be cool. Like, there's a lot of old things that Square could reinvent. You know, like, take an old director who's worked on those games from Square and, like, an old, like, story team or whatever. Design team, and then pair them up with Platinum. There's a lot of cool things that could come out from that potential relationship. So,
yeah, I'm more interested in what Yoko Taro is doing after this.
Absolutely.
Not the mobile game, but I'll check it out.
I think we'll definitely see like a full scale like Nier-esque game from him again, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, well deserved.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to see Nier, but something for sure.
No, that's what I mean. Like something on that scale again.
Yeah. Atlas aren't letting people stream Persona 5 past a certain date.
It's really dumb.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
It doesn't make any sense. It's So Sega yesterday put out a ban on the streaming of Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Yes. So only the Japanese version, though.
With that in mind, it's probably a Sega directive.
Yeah.
Atlas forever, before streaming was a big thing, like when Catherine was out like 7 years ago or whatever, put out statements all the time being like, don't fucking spoil this game for anyone.
Yeah.
Like, they put out like, they drew like special art for it and things like that. Like, they got like, is it called Soejima? I can't believe I've forgotten his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Soejima. Like, he'd draw like special artwork to be like, don't do this, or Atlas will curse you forever. Like, it was like fun, playful stuff like that. But they've always been like pretty like, half of this will be obviously the business backwards, misinformed, short-sighted business decision of like, hey, if people just watch this, they'll never buy it. But yeah. I think some of it might actually genuinely be like, don't fucking spoil this game for people, which is totally misguided. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It is like,
it'd be nice to have share button. There's a lot of screenshots that I wish I could have taken, I'll be honest.
Yeah. I mean, Persona 5 would not be selling this well if Giant Bomb didn't put that stuff on YouTube, you know?
I don't know. I've got no idea, to be honest. Like, Persona 4 sold well off the bat, and so did 3. Like, I think,
not that well, though.
Like, yeah, but I think there's a lot of other factors.
Persona 4 Golden sold a lot more than any of those.
Sure, but, like, I didn't hear about Persona 3 Giant Bomb, and love Giant Bomb. Like, I think it's easy to get caught up in the bubble of people who are incredibly enthusiastic about games. Mm-hmm. But there's a
they're the only people playing Persona, though.
That's not true at all, though. Like, there's loads of people I know who like Japanese games who don't listen to any podcasts or really go on many websites. They just find out about the stuff, like, through different sources, like, through anime and shit like that. So I think it's very easy for us to say anecdotally, oh, Giant Bomb had a huge influence, and it very well might have. But, like, it's impossible to say.
Hmm.
And I think, like, the Giant Bomb audience is really niche as well, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like this massive website, and I'm sure maybe it moved 100k, which would be an enormous number, but out of like 1.5 million, it's not that enormous, you know? Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I think it is. I think Atlas is totally wrong on this. Like, I'm not defending the decision, but I think it's easy to get caught up in like our little echo chamber where everyone knows Giant Bomb and Persona. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Whereas like a lot more people know Persona. Well, that might not be true. I don't know. It's impossible to say. Yeah. But yeah, I would love to see an endurance run when I finish the game. The other thing I don't understand is, like, I can't imagine, like, watching a story-based game, someone stream it. And I know you streamed it. And I'm not having a go at you for streaming it. But for me, personally, I think it's fucking insane.
Mm.
I get that people do it.
I think a lot of people like to see the reactions of people playing.
Yeah, totally. Like, I really enjoyed watching Giant Bomb endurance run for a few episodes, but when a game's new and out, like, I just want to play it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with
you. I can't imagine watching like a stream. I can imagine watching a stream of Nier now that I finished it, or a stream of Persona 5 later in the year, but like right now, it's like the last thing I would ever want to do.
Other than like a cursory glance in to see how it's running and stuff, I wouldn't watch stuff like that either.
I mean, and you can stream like the first 30 hours. Like, that's enough, right? I don't know. And again, this isn't defending Atlas. I'm just like, why would anyone want to watch more than like an hour of this game to get a feel for it? That's just my personal opinion,
other people just like to watch stuff. Some people can't afford games.
Yeah, totally. And I'm in the minority.
Teenagers.
I'm in the minority, but yeah.
Also, it's just like, it's a lot of time to invest to solely playing a game. But if you have it like running in the background, you can do other shit as well. You know, there is reasons to
that. Sounds awful. But yeah.
Yeah, it does sound awful. But like, also,
no, I just like, look,
dedicating 100 hours to a game, it sounds awful to people as well, you know?
Nah. Yeah, of course. Again, totally in the minority. It's just my opinion. And yeah. I know I'm in the minority on it.
I don't think you're in the minority.
Okay.
I don't think there's that many people here watching. I think there was 8,000 people watching Persona 5 when it came out.
Okay.
On the day. That's not that many people on Twitch.
No, so who cares?
Yeah.
Ultimately.
I don't know.
Stupid decision for Atlas. That's going to hurt them more than anyone else. Eventually, a few months down the line, they're not going to bother fucking enforcing legal action anyway if people are streaming it. So it'll sort itself out. It's a dumb move, but whatever. They've sold a million copies in the West already, so they're fine.
Have they?
Yeah. Did not see the link. It's shipped 1.5 worldwide. And, like, Japan sales are at, like, 400K. So, yeah. About a million in the West.
Cool.
Yeah. Fucking, it's, like, outsold all of them straight away.
Yeah, that's good. It's promising.
That game will have made, like, that game and Nioh all sold over a million copies and probably had tiny fucking budgets relative to, like, anything else that sells that much.
Yeah. They do feel like AA. Almost. Sure. I mean, somewhere in the middle. Especially Nioh. Nioh feels very much like a AA game.
I mean, it feels really like I played games in the 90s, obviously, but I'm not going to pretend that I played Grandia and Xenogears in the 90s. I didn't. I played them much later. But it feels like those kind of levels of games, like pretty high production values for the time, but not on the scale of like Metal Gear or Final Fantasy. But like, you know, games that sell about a million copies. And have, like, rabid fan bases. Like, it feels like we're getting back to those days in a lot of ways with a lot of the stuff that's coming from Japan.
Yeah.
Which is, like, fucking, like, a dream come true after Last Generation. So, yeah it's great.
It's very promising that they're getting out of the mindset of you have to sell 6 million, otherwise it's worthless.
No, it's like, right, we'll spend 10 million on this game and, you know, aim for, like, 500K sold. And, like, they've been knocking out the box this year so far.
Absolutely. And just given good directors games to make. Like Yoko Taro.
Yep.
What a boy. I'm pretty sure part of the deal of him directing Nioh was so that you would also make that fucking weird mobile game.
Does it actually delete your contacts, or was that a joke?
No,
it
was a joke. Okay.
I could fucking believe it, though.
It'd be so funny.
Yeah. Potentially dangerous, but yeah.
Can't change Persona. That's good. And the new Zelda patch, which improves frame rate on the Switch.
Yeah, it's
have
cool.
Have you played it since that patch
came out? No. I'll have to switch my Switch on. I don't. Does it download patches when it's in rest mode? Because mine's been in rest mode for about 10 days. That's fine then. Because like obviously we're going to Japan on Sunday, so I'll be playing that on the plane probably and checking it out. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I hear it's mostly solid 30 on handheld mode, unless you're in a town. Otherwise, it's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it like drops a little bit in a town, but I'd never really noticed frame rate drops there anyway, so.
Sure.
Or like not huge ones. It was only like fighting with like crazy grass blowing everywhere that was a problem.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the towns, one specific town was unplayable, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any other news?
The specs for the Scorpio came out.
Right, yeah, that's right.
But we're not super techie people, really, are we? So,
it doesn't really matter.
Sure.
Xbox doesn't have any games.
Sure. But, like, you know, just to give people an idea of what it is, it's much more in line with PS4 Pro. Like was originally stated by Xbox themselves. Than a new console. So it's not going to play any exclusive games looking at this. And I don't know. It's just going to run Xbox games at a nice resolution, frame rate, all that kind of stuff. Much like the PS4 Pro. It looks like decently powerful. Like, more so than the PlayStation 4 Pro, I think. But I don't understand all this shit. So I'm not the right person to talk about it.
It has a fuck ton of video memory. Yeah. The stats here. Like, 12 gigabytes is a lot.
Yeah, compared to 8 for PS4 Pro.
Yeah, my graphics card has 8. I don't know how much the new ones have, but, like, 12 seems like a lot. Like,
yeah.
That, obviously, that's so they can run it in 4K.
Apparently, they've been saying the new Forza is going to run 60 frames 4K, which is interesting. This is a screenshot, which is, like, the most meaningless fucking thing ever, but I suppose it's a nice looking screenshot, which who the fuck knows what the game will actually look like when it comes out. But, I don't know. Yeah, like, I'm the kind of person who shelled out for PS4 Pro, 4K TV. Like, Persona 5 is 30 frames a second, and it's in 1080p, and it's fucking gorgeous.
It looks all right.
To me.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Presentation stuff.
No, like, you know what I mean. Like, it's all about fucking presentation and, more importantly, gameplay. So, and just if the game is on the system in the fucking first place. So,
yes.
I don't know. Part of me wants a reason to buy a Scorpio because it'll be a cheap 4K Blu-ray player, but, like, they haven't given me any compelling reasons yet. And stats isn't going to be the thing that pushes me. So, we'll see. Hopefully, they'll have something cool at E3, games wise.
Yeah. GDX 1080 has 8 gigabytes of memory. I don't know how it's going to utilize it, because it's not that fast, the Scorpio chip. Mm. But, you know.
Isn't memory...
That's a lot of memory.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, because I'm very ignorant to all the technical stuff. Isn't memory really good at, like, persistence in worlds? Like, wasn't the reason Skyrim and shit like that was totally fucked on PS3, because it had lower memory? So that if you'd leave, like, a door open in a village, it would kind of, like, weigh down on the system and totally fuck things up.
That's for RAM, like, random access memory.
Right, sorry.
Whereas
this is
the graphics memory.
Okay, sorry.
The GDDR5.
So I was totally wrong.
No, not really. I'm sure, like, that does affect... It mainly affects the size of textures you can load in, that kind of thing.
Interesting. Maybe that's why the textures are so limited on P5, because it was a PS3 game as well.
Possibly, but I'm sure they could have changed it to...
They could have.
They probably did, right? I'm sure it must be a bit better,
it's
right?
It's higher resolution.
Is that it?
Maybe. It's 1080 instead of 720. I don't know if there's any other differences.
Right, yeah. They probably could have done better textures.
Yeah, I think they could have. Yes,
it's definitely. Probably also a lot of fucking work, considering... I imagine that game feels like it's going to get a lot bigger than it already is. There's more areas to explore and stuff, and it's you know, it's way bigger than Persona 4's overworld.
I mean, it's straight away.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, definitely. Oh man. Okay, let's just end this.
I want to go play it. Yeah,
yeah, we can play it right now. Persona. How funny! And how amazing!
Then I'm going to Japan, the highest res Persona game.
It is the highest res Persona game.
So amazing. You know, it'll be fine. Thank you very much for listening to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
We go play Persona 5.
Bye.